Hello, I'm here with another video for you guys on a rainy and kind of gloomy Wednesday today. I hope that you're having a good day despite the weather and you're excited to dive into scripture with me this afternoon. Go ahead and grab a Bible, grab your family, get settled in. And we're gonna talk about one of my favorite books of the Bible. Now I tend to start a lot of videos and sermons or lessons or whatever with the phrase, this is one of my favorite books versus people, whatever. And that's usually because as I study a passage, I get excited about it as I learn something new about God. And it's an exciting thing for me. But this book, the book of Ruth, is one of my all-time favorite books. We're talking Lord of the Rings level love for this book. Which means that it's probably also going to be my longest video today. Because I could go on and on talking about it for hours. I'll try not to, but we'll see what happens. But this book, the book of Ruth, is just a short four-chapter love story nestled in between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. There's so much in this book that we can learn from. The covenant love of God is on full display. Kindness and justice prevail, which is all the more shocking when we understand that this is during the time of the judges. The book of Ruth is a light that shines in Israel's darkest time. And so I want to focus on one verse at the end of chapter 1. But before we do that, we need to set the stage. We need to know what's going on in the book of Ruth with all of the characters and everything. So let's talk about a little bit of background. The first thing we need to understand is that even though this is a book that is named Ruth, and Ruth is a key player in the events that unfold, she is not the main character. The primary human character in this story is Naomi, who is Ruth's mother-in-law. The narrative centers around her. It opens with her, and it closes with her. She is the key player. Everything that happens comes back to Naomi. Every time Ruth does anything or is spoken about or is spoken to, she is tied to Naomi. Now, this doesn't minimize the greatness of Ruth's compassion and dedication to Naomi. Ruth stands tall in this book. She is a woman of integrity, virtue, and she is worthy of our admiration. But to understand this book correctly, we need to set our sights on Naomi. When the book starts, we are told what's going on, that it is going on when the judges ruled. This is happening during the time of the judges. And if you've read Judges recently, you're going to have a clear picture of what's going on. It was not a good time. The time of the judges was characterized by as a time when the people did what was right in their own eyes. Wickedness and injustice abound. There were some truly horrific things going on in the nation of Israel during this time. We are also told in the first couple of verses that there's a man named Elimelech, and he was married to a woman named Naomi, and they had two sons, and they lived in Bethlehem. And there's a famine in the land, and so Elimelech decided to leave Bethlehem. They lived in Moab for 10 years. During that time, Elimelech and their two sons died. And so Naomi decides that since she doesn't have a husband or sons anymore, she is going to return to Bethlehem. Naomi had nothing for her daughter-in-laws, and so she told them to return to their families so that they could get married to somebody else and have a life. Ruth refuses to leave her. In one of the great passages of scripture, Ruth vows her loyalty and love to Naomi. This is what she says. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Naomi is unable to argue with such a vow. It's just such an amazing statement of love and compassion for her mother-in-law that Ruth makes. And so she allows Ruth to accompany her back to Bethlehem. And when they get back to Bethlehem, we learn that Elimelech must have been an important man before they left, because the whole town is talking about Naomi's return. It's a big deal that she has come back. Everyone's saying, is this Naomi? Is that really her? But Naomi is bitter for all that she has lost. And she even tells people to stop calling her Naomi, which means pleasant, and to instead call her Mara, which means bitter. And the reason she gives for this is, she says, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? This is a bleak situation. Naomi is depressed. She is angry with her lot in life. But notice her theology. What does she believe about God? She addresses God two different ways in this statement. First, she calls him Almighty, Shaddai. She points to him as the mighty, powerful, sustainer and provider of his people. She makes the point that God is the one who sustains and nourishes his people. And he has dealt bitterly with her. He has brought calamity upon her. She is making the statement that she believes God to be the sustainer of everything on this earth. He is powerful. Nothing happens apart from him. God is the one who did this. He is in control. But then she uses the covenant name of God, Yahweh. She went away full, and Yahweh brought her back empty. The God who did miraculous things, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God who delivered his people from Egypt, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who sustained his people for 40 years in the wilderness, the God who gave them victory over their enemies in the land of Canaan and delivered on his promise to Abraham that his descendants would possess the land. That God, the God that all of Israel has known, who has done great things, Naomi is saying, that God is the one who testifies against me. She lays it all on God. And so she is no longer pleasant Naomi. She is bitter Mara. She has lost hope. She is beaten down. She has lost her husband and her two sons. Everything. Her sons were childless. She has no one left to protect and provide for her. And so here she is testifying that not even the Almighty God, not even Yahweh, is protecting and providing for her. But she is wrong. Now, I'm going to spoil the rest of the book for you. So if you're watching this video and you've never read the whole thing, pause and go and read it. It's only 4 chapters. It won't take you long, but you need to read it. It's great. And then you can come back and pick up right here. So listen to how this chapter ends, chapter 1. All of this is taking place in chapter 1. And then Ruth 1:22, the last verse of the chapter, says this. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. I get chills when I read this, every single time. I didn't always. I used to just read it as a transition verse from chapter 1 to chapter 2. And I was just like, hey, thanks for letting us know what time of the year it is. We appreciate it. Let's get on with the story, right? But that verse is so important. That verse answers Naomi's accusations that God does not provide for her, that she was brought back empty. First, Naomi is not empty. She has Ruth. Ruth the Moabite, who returned with her. Ruth, who is going to go glean in the fields. Ruth, who is going to work all day, every day, to make sure that they have enough to eat. She spends every day, day after day after day, working to make sure that she and Naomi are provided for, that they can eat. Not only is Ruth going to do that, Ruth is going to marry Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz are going to provide a grandchild to Naomi who will carry on the family name of Elimelech. Not only is the family line going to continue, not only is Naomi going to be provided for, that child's name is Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, who would go on to be the greatest king that Israel would ever know. A man after God's own heart. Naomi did not go away full and come back empty. God lavishly blessed Naomi beyond her wildest dreams in Ruth. Ruth was with her. But that's not even the part that I really want to focus on. I mean, that's huge, but I want us to see that they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So the beginning of the barley harvest, it was March or April by our calendars. And barley is the first crop that would have been harvested. This means that they returned to Bethlehem exactly when they needed to. They would have plenty of time to gather up food and store it so that they wouldn't go hungry. The rest of the events in this book are dependent on the fact that Naomi and Ruth come back right now, right at this exact time. We see the hand of God so clearly in this book, and in no place is it more evident that God is at work in the lives of Naomi and Ruth than right now, that they come back right here. The book of Ruth is, in addition to being an inspired work of scripture, is a beautiful piece of literature. And all great literature has this moment. There is a moment in every great story where something changes. Now, I'm going to restrain myself from telling you when it is in The Lord of the Rings. I really want to, but we'll never get back on topic. But there is a moment where the first time where you read a story, you don't see it. It's a small thing. It seems like it's a random comment that was thrown in that means nothing to the reader at the time. But when you get to the end and you look back, you see, wow, right then and there, that moment mattered. The arrival of Naomi and Ruth in Bethlehem at this exact time is not a coincidence. It is providence. God ordained that they would return at this moment. God ordained that Ruth would end up in the field of Boaz, who would not only be generous with her, but was a kinsman of Naomi, who not only could, but would gladly fulfill the role of redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. It is not a coincidence that God would use this Moabite woman to bring about King David. Almighty El Shaddai, God is in control. Yahweh cares for his people. The entire book of Ruth is an answer to Naomi's statements against God. And God shows himself to be a loving, compassionate, faithful God. Naomi learns this lesson and she receives immeasurable riches of grace by the end of this book. And it is astounding to see. So what does that have to do with us? What can we learn from this book and from Naomi? The first thing I want us to see is that just because things are hard doesn't mean that God is against us. We are living in a difficult time right now. We don't know what's going on. Really, we don't have an idea of what to expect for the future. We don't know how long things will carry on like this. One of my friends just told me today that his wife got an email saying that she is probably going to be laid off at the end of May. One of our neighbors thinks he's going to be laid off this week too because there just isn't enough work right now. There is uncertainty. You know, and we have people getting sick. Our doctors and nurses are facing it every day. People are separated from their families. It's uncertain. It can be discouraging. And it's difficult. I have had some tough days, some really hard days. It's really hard day after day to spend the majority of your time talking to a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. They just don't understand logic, first of all. And they also don't understand why we have to stay home, why we can't, you know, go see their friends, why they can't go to school. And it's really hard to be missing church for this long. It just is. It's hard to be out of a routine. It's hard to go so long without being encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ. I miss my small group. I miss the youth group. On Sunday, we did our first virtual youth group over video chat. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed seeing the youth on the computer screen. Not because I didn't think that I would want to see them, but because I had low expectations for video chat. It's not the same as gathering together, of physically being in the same room. But just being able to see them and talk to them, it was an encouragement. But it's okay for us to admit that we are having a hard time with this. It is. But we cannot become bitter. We cannot start to blame God. I remember once having a conversation with my grandfather. I was reflecting back on a time that I had been heartbroken, and I was mad at God. I was angry, and almost every time I prayed, I was scolding God. I was yelling at him to fix it. And I was just angry at God, and I blamed him. And I won't ever forget that my grandpa just kind of smiled at me and said, "That's okay. God wants us to be honest with him. We can express our emotions to God." But then he said, "Don't ever forget that God knows more than you know." God knows more than we know. He knew more than Naomi knew. He knew more than we know today. He knows more than anyone knows about this situation. God is in control, and God has a plan. And sometimes that means that we're going to go through a difficult time. And sometimes that means that the difficult time never lets up. The story of Ruth is not a lesson that everything will get better if you just endure long enough. God will make everything the way that you want it. That's not the promise we receive looking at Naomi's life. The lesson we learn from this book is that God is compassionate and he is in control. God makes promises and he keeps those promises. And if we study his word, we will see that. Naomi had become very me-centric, only caring about what was going on in her life. She was so focused on her own suffering that she completely ignores the fact that she still has Ruth. And when you see the grand scheme of things, when you back up and see what God was doing in Naomi's life, it's incredible. It's remarkable. It's praiseworthy. God was worthy of praise for what he was doing. Ruth, the person who she completely overlooked, is the one that God uses to bring Naomi unending joy. God is not bound as we are bound. God sees everything. He sees the whole picture. And he is the painter. He holds the brush. He makes everything happen. He holds the world in his hands. We can trust in him. And so if you are frustrated today, if you are angry, if you are discouraged or depressed, if you are having a hard time with all of this, I hope that you will take this to heart. I hope that you will remember how God worked in the book of Ruth. And I hope that it will bring you hope. I hope that you will see that he is above all things and how suffering doesn't negate his goodness and his compassion for his people. I would encourage you to dive into Scripture. Read about what God has done for his people. See his works. Reflect on how gracious he has been to his people. And be encouraged, because if you are in Christ, you are a child of God, and God is a good father. I would also encourage you to take note of the blessings that are in your life. Don't just focus on the things that are hard. Make a list of all the good things that God has done for you. Don't focus on the bad. Celebrate the good. Celebrate that God has poured out his grace on you. Read through that list daily. Start your day thinking about how God has been good to you. Trust in that. Rejoice in that. And we'll see you next time.